Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with two different impressions of President Obama's speech today at the National Defense University, where he called for an end to the endless war on terror. First, Carlos Warner joins us. He is an attorney with the Federal Public Defender of the Northern District of Ohio, who represents 11 Guantanamo prisoners. We will discuss why the president has not closed Guantanamo, which again Obama called for today. Then we will speak with Peter Singer, the director of the Center for 21st Century Security and Intelligence at the Brookings Institution, who was coordinator of the Obama 08 Campaign Defense Policy Task Force. He has an article at the Los Angeles Times, "Finally Obama Breaks His Silence on Drones," which we will discuss along with the president's call to end the perpetual war on terror, which Obama called self-defeating. Then finally, we look into the DOJ and Treasury documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act by Bartlett Naylor, the financial policy advocate for Public Citizen, who served as chief of investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee. He joins us to discuss this new evidence that completely undercuts claims by the Department of Justice that they did not prosecute too big to jail bankers because of a fear that the whole financial system might unravel if some big Wall Street bankers went to jail. And joining us now is Carlos Warner, who is an attorney with the Federal Public Defender of the Northern District of Ohio. He represents 11 Guantanamo prisoners. And tell me, Carlos, what did you think of the president's speech today before the National Defense University? Does it give you some hope and your client some hope?
No, it was unfortunate. I would, on a grade scale, I'd give it a D. And the only reason why it wasn't an F was because he did lift the restriction on transferring individuals to Yemen. But on everything else, it was disappointing. He did not reaffirm his commitment to Article III courts. He did not appoint a high-level official in the White House who can really moderate the fights we've had between the Department of State and the Department of Defense. And he has made no commitment under the current law that exists to transfer individuals, which he has the ultimate power to do so. We heard again from him blaming Congress, and that's simply a misnomer. Congress does not restrict the president from transferring these innocent individuals. And he made no acknowledgement of that whatsoever in the speech today.
You mean that Congress, which controls the purse strings, I mean, it seems most of the speech that he gave was a way to reach out to the public around the Congress to sort of shame them, saying how much it costs, etc. Tell me.
Exactly.
So why isn't, you know, I'm under the impression that the Congress are the ones that refuse to have anybody from Guantanamo in an American prison, and that's just
wrong. Now, there is a restriction to bringing the individuals to the United States. I agree with that. But this is how he says the left. He tells the left that it's Congress's fault, and when he fails to do it, his legacy will be not admitting that he failed to do it, but that Congress blocked him from doing it. Senator Levin, with other courageous senators, inserted into the current version of the NDA waiver authority, the ability for him to transfer individuals if it's in the interest of national security. And again, he underscored today how Guantanamo cuts against national security. And his own review team has unanimously decided that 86 of these individuals should be immediately released. And the solutions are there. So to tell the public we need to have another set of reviews or somehow look at these cases again is just a misnomer. We have the solutions. He has the power to transfer individuals. He doesn't have the political courage to do just that. And I was hoping today that he would demonstrate the political courage to do what's right, and that is transfer these individuals immediately. He made it very clear that he's not willing to do that. Instead, he's going to point fingers at Congress, and he's going to point people within his administration that do not have the power to effectuate change. If he wanted to appoint the right person, he should have done it in the White House. And this is specifically what Senator Feinstein called for. So it's not just me. I believe that senators on the Hill are going to be very disappointed in what he said about Guantanamo today.
So why then did he talk about how American supermax prisons, nobody's ever escaped from them, and recommending that this is where these prisoners go, except for those who can go to Yemen? So to your mind, is he just lying to the American people?
No. Right now there is a restriction that Congress has put on saying that he's not permitted to bring people housed in Guantanamo to the United States either to be held or to be tried. And I agree that has to be changed. But that's less than half of the prisoners there. 86 of the prisoners don't fall into that category. And their problems can be immediately resolved by the president with the stroke of a pen. So again, he's playing politics here. He's looking at the left or at the left and saying it's Congress's fault. And then Congress, already I've seen from Senator Graham, other senators coming out saying that he's soft on terror. This is just politics back and forth like we've seen before. The president doesn't have to engage in this. He has the absolute power to release the 86 men. And he should fight with Congress to bring the remainder to the United States for trial or release. But before we get to that remainder of 80 men, let's deal with the 86 that we all agree that the CIA, that the Department of Defense, everybody agrees should be immediately released. And the solutions have already been constructed by the State Department. He's just reappointing the same individuals. He's talking about starting up the periodic review boards, if you read between the lines of what he said today. And those are ineffectual in closing Guantanamo. His comments today indicate that Guantanamo will be open when he leaves office, unless he makes some real change. And that means that he's got to stick up for what's right. He has to, as some of my colleagues have said, man up, release the people that should be released, and try the rest. He's unwilling to do that. And that was very, very clear by way of his statements today.
So where would he release the 86 to? If they've been cleared, and I understand they have been cleared,
right,
where does he release them to? Isn't that a problem? A lot of people don't want these people. They've got a bunch of Uyghurs that can't be sent to China. I think they ended up in Bermuda or somewhere ridiculous.
Yes, they did. Now, but the 86, again, the State Department has constructed the solutions, and the solutions are in Saudi Arabia. The solutions may be in Kuwait, although it looks like from what I'm hearing, Kuwait is falling off the table. The solutions could be in Qatar, obviously in Afghanistan for some of the men, and in Yemen. And I understand that Saudi Arabia is willing to engage with Yemen to help create a rehabilitation center there. And Dan Freed, who is in the State Department, worked very hard to put these solutions together. And it was reported just last week that Hillary Clinton went to the president and said, "You need to do these things. You can get the 86 out." And the president's staff was upset at Hillary for presenting the memo instead of doing what's right, which is implementing the solutions. The White House is playing politics with Guantanamo. That has to be very clear.
Well, but aren't the Republicans playing politics too? I mean, Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who Obama beat in 2008, and apparently McCain's never forgiven him for it. They've done everything they can.
Actually, Lindsey Graham's a little bit different. He's up for re-election, but John McCain just last week in the AUMF hearings talked about releasing the 86. So I believe John McCain is for releasing the 86, but the Republicans are not as villainous as one might think. And you're talking to somebody from the left. The Republicans allowed this waiver restriction to go into the NDAA so they could come back and say, "Wait, you have the authority to release people, but you refuse to do so." And the smart Republicans are saying that, including Senator Graham. Now, they'll still fall into 28%, you know, return to the battle, all these false talking points that they have. But the bottom line is the president could, he on his own executive authority could transfer these individuals now if he wanted to. And his speech today made clear that he's unwilling to do that. He didn't mention his authority. He didn't say he was going to start doing that. He said, we're going to lift the restriction to Yemen and start examining it. And we might do something in the future. And these men are going to get some review. That's empty promises, and they're promises that he's made in the past. And that's what is so frustrating, that we're hearing the same things, those of us that have been close to this problem for many years, over and over again. And frankly, the left shouldn't buy it this time. The right's going to always go for the worst of the worst of housing Guantanamo, even though we know that's false. But the left is the problem here. The left has to say, wait a minute, you're making all this talk, but you're not making action. And we need action, and this is what you could do. Actually, the protester who spoke up, she was right today. 86 men are cleared. You could release them today. Why don't you do it? He didn't answer that question.
No, he did acknowledge the protester and said that she may not be listening to what he has to say, but he certainly agrees with her passion and that Guantanamo is a shame on the United States. It's America's gulag around the world, and it clearly has been an enduring embarrassment. So how did that strike you?
Well, the protester was not only impassioned, she was legally correct.
Right.
And she went, from what I could hear, she said that 86 men are there and you have authority to release them today, and these men are hunger striking and you're not doing that. You're not releasing them. And that's absolutely correct. He has the power to release those 86 today, and it's not about where they can go. The solutions are there. If he started to release the men, some men, the hunger strike would end. Today, 103 men, according to the military, it's more like 130, are hunger striking. And the majority of them are being tube-fed, at least 30 today, but they're being rotated on and off, so likely you have the majority of the men also being tube-fed. And he talked about that and how horrible it was and how we shouldn't leave this for our children. Agreed. But as the president, as the commander-in-chief, you have power already to help the problem, and you are not executing it. And what you're doing is you're listening to the advisors close to you that are telling you this is a bad political risk, that if one of these 86 were to do something bad, you're going to suffer for it, and your constituency is going to suffer for it. And he made the decision not to do what was right. And I mean, honestly, politics took over in the White House. And I know this because I know what's going on in the White House. And it's been reported lately. It's slowly seeping out. But there's people in the White House that don't want Guantanamo closed, that would rather blame it on the right. And unfortunately, clearly, they have the president's ear. And that's very disappointing to those of us who have clients who are dying in Guantanamo.
And the assumption is that that's the advice they're giving, that if there were one of these people were returned and then ended up in a terrorist attack on the United States, well, I think it's a reasonable assumption the Republicans could make hay out of it. I mean, for God's sake, they tried to make hay out of the Sanarovs, these two Chechens up in Boston, by arguing that George Bush, believe it or not, Republicans on the House took to the House floor and said George W. Bush kept us safe and Obama didn't. I guess, you know, conveniently omitting 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, again, and they should be sent straight to Guantanamo. This is, again, the right has done a great job in the media painting Guantanamo as being the worst of the worst. But we know that the majority of the men, according to people in Bush's own administration, were innocent that were taken to Guantanamo. And those are the people that remain there today. So, yes, the right is going to pick up that talking point, and it's so successful, over half left. Half of the people that are Democrats and consider themselves on the left believe Guantanamo should remain open. It's because they don't understand who's in Guantanamo and why we have Guantanamo open. And the president tried to explain this, and that's great to explain it, but he's, again, playing politics. He's trying to convince the left that something's okay, and let's get angry at the right for blocking me from bringing people here when he could solve the majority of the problem. And when I say the majority of the problem, 86 are gone. Today, if he wants to do it, including the Uyghurs. Now, the Uyghurs are a much more difficult case, and he should probably fight, if I was representing the Uyghurs, for them to come to the United States. But that's a whole different scenario. I think many of the Uyghurs would rather be in the places that we're talking about, as opposed to Algeria and some of the other places they try to send them, than in a cell in Guantanamo. So again, I have to underscore to you that the solutions are there. The president's unwilling to employ them, and that's why the speech, from our perspective, gets a D. And I can promise you, on my side of the fence, it was almost unanimous reaction instantaneously. As soon as we saw the speech, everyone who's close to the problem knew what was going on, and that's very disappointing.
Well, again, Carlos Warner, attorney with the Federal Public Defender of the Northern District of Ohio. He represents 11 Guantanamo prisoners. So you mentioned that the polls indicate that most Americans are perfectly happy with Guantanamo, and the even more, I think, telling polls about the use of drones. I think 83% of Americans think drones are a good idea. So why then does the president come out today at the National Defense University and basically say that this perpetual U.S. war on terror, whether through drone strikes or special forces operating with troop deployment, is self-defeating and it has to end?
Well, it has to end, but he doesn't, again, give you any answers about how it's going to end. He wants us to take him at his word that he's not going to use his power in an off way. And he said very clearly again that, you know, his power is absolute when it comes to drones. And, you know, he described about Anwar al-Awlaki and why he had to make that call, but he didn't describe at all about his son that was drone sitting at a cafe, 16-year-old boy. There's no explanation about that and another American citizen, not the two other American citizens, or the fact that the majority of the people that fall victim to drones aren't like Anwar al-Awlaki or some sort of high-level deputy in al-Qaeda, but they're the average foot soldier. And, you know, that's what's disconcerting internationally. Internationally, it's against law. And John McCain, again, said in the AUMF discussion last week, he never envisioned that his vote for the initial AUMF would allow our president today to conduct drone strikes all over the world, in Yemen, Somalia, and this sort of thing. He made a compelling argument about drones. But again, you have to look one layer deeper, and you have to ask yourself, do you want him to have this sort of absolute power? And how is it being executed? And if it is, then let's talk about the way it's been executed in the recent future. I want to hear about Abdul Rahman al-Awlaki. I want to hear about how and why he died. They've never talked about that. I want to hear about why the majority of the men that are killed, men and women that are killed in drone strikes, are the common foot soldier, and where are they killed? These are all secretive operations. The American public has no idea who's killed, how many are being killed. It's basically our word against the word on the ground in where the drone strikes are. You have people on the ground who see a drone strike that say 25 people were killed. Our government says 2 people were killed. There needs to be more transparency. And I think that the president did talk about having more transparency. But let's see. Actions speak louder than words. I want to see how transparent he actually will be with his droning program.
Well, just in closing, Carlos Warner, given that the majority of Americans think Guantanamo is a good idea and 83% think drones are great and the more the bad guys we zap, the better, what percentage was it in it for the president to take the opposite stand today and actually call for the end of the war on terror? He said, this war, like all wars, must end. That's what history advises. That's what our democracy demands. I mean, so why is he doing this if you're saying he's not sincere and he's pulling a fast one on the American left?
Well, look, he's pulling a fast one on the American left on Guantanamo, no question about it. The drone discussion is much more complex, and I'd be the first to admit that. But on Guantanamo specifically, he's clearly pulling a fast one because he can play politics with the issue. So he can talk and talk about all of the American values and how we're going to do what's right, but he's not doing what's right. And I, unfortunately, sense the same thing when it comes to the drone program. So what's his motivation? He wants to say all the right things. But the question is, does he want to do all the right things? And it's when you're president, it's about, he talked about it's a difficult call to make, and he makes it. Well, these are difficult calls to make. They're difficult in a different way because they're political decisions. And sometimes for politicians, political decisions are tougher to make than actually the call to take somebody out. And that's the bottom line. And what I saw today was pure politics, unfortunately, especially on the issue of Guantanamo. There can be no question.
So in other words, he should act more like he did on the gun issue after the kids were killed, that he took on an unpopular subject and took a stand even though he lost.
Well, that's right. That's right. And I'm sorry, and the last comment I'll say is those sorts of issues play into this. I mean, briefly, the reason why Guantanamo, one of the main reasons Guantanamo wasn't closed in 2009 was the Affordable Health Care Act. It's because the political capital is being played elsewhere, and I think that's what's happening today with Guantanamo.
Well, Carlos Warner, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Carlos Warner, who is an attorney with the Federal Public Defender of the Northern District of Ohio. He represents 11 Guantanamo prisoners. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back and get a very different opinion on the president's speech today.